Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, Amen and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise God. My devotional message for this morning is coming from, entitled The Right to Love. And the scripture reading is coming from Luke 6, 28. And it says, pray for those who mistreat you. Amen. The writer says, we hear many people talking about right these days. Sadly, the attention given to human entitlement hasn't brought about any increase in personal freedom. Instead, most people are increasingly imprisoned by feelings of jealousy, greed, and bitterness. This is why, instead of focusing on the privileges due us, Scripture admonishes us to consider others better than ourselves. Love our enemies and forgive those who persecute us. That doesn't mean we invite people to trample on us. Rather, we are simply more concerned about showing God's love than about demanding what we are due. Jesus is our example in this. He was betrayed by his friends, persecuted by his people, and crucified for our sins. Yet he said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. His awe-inspiring capacity for love and forgiveness are available to us through his Spirit, who indwells us. When we choose to honor him, even in mistreatment, God's power and care can flow through us. You will never lose when you show the boundless love of Christ to others. Not only will you be blessed by God for representing him well, but others may accept him as Savior because of your example. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, we want to forgive and love as you do. Help us pray for those who have hurt us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this morning. Praise be to God. Now it is time for us to say good morning to Father God. Amen.
Away, I doesn't matter how long that it will take. The Lord knows my heart anyway, so just pray.
Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. After the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Again, unfortunately, our Apostle Mother Wiggins cannot be with us at this time. She is in the hospital and recuperating from her surgery. So we're going to keep her lifted up in prayers. Amen. Praise be to God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus
Yeshua. Your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you're in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
Yeah.
Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 17 through 30. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 30. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise be to God. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "have I obeyed all these commandments since I was young?" "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you have not done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples was astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up. "We have given up everything to follow you," he said. "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So here Jesus assured the disciples that anyone who gives up something valuable for his sake will be repaid 100 times over in this life, although not necessarily in the same way. For example, someone may be rejected by his family for accepting Christ, but he or she will gain the larger family of believers. Along with these rewards, however, be experienced persecution because the world hates God. Jesus emphasizes persecution to make sure that people do not selfishly follow him only for the rewards. Amen. Praise be to God. The kingdom of God is both personal and social. The parables we have studied thus far have emphasized universal aspect of the not of the kingdom, setting forth its growth and development in the world. Now, this parable and the one following stresses the value of God's kingdom to the individual. The gospel is a great influence to everyone in the community, even those who have never personally accepted Jesus as Savior, share in the benefits that have accrued to community life because the gospel message has been preached. Hospitals, orphans, homes, and humanitarian agencies of all kinds are products of the compassion that people possess because Jesus has influenced civilization. Amen? Now, yet the treasure of this of the gospel is primarily a personal possession. Jesus told this story to illustrate the worth of the kingdom of God to an individual life. Let us pray. Our Father, help us as long as we live on this earth to seek you daily and to walk in a believing and affectionate fellowship with you continually. We pray that when the Lord comes, we will not be found hiding our talents, nor serving the flesh, nor asleep with our lamps unfurnished. May we be waiting and longing, but at the same time working, busy about the daily chores that are so necessary for the building of a well-rounded Christian life. A part of our daily duties is the bringing of our gifts into the storehouse. Yet giving is more than an obligation. We give because we love and count it a privilege to invest a part of ourselves in the work of your kingdom. Use our gifts to your glory and use our lives likewise to bring honor to your name. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 13:44, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth and for joy selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Praise God. And my title for this message is, to be a Christian is worth more than all else. And this morning my message is going to be short and sweet. Praise God. Number one, a word of caution. This parable was not given to instruct people in business ethics. We get into great danger when we try to press every detail of parable for a symbolic meaning. If we did so in this parable, we would be in trouble. Would it be honest if we found treasure in another person's field? To slip around behind his back? Secure money in some way and buy the field? Some might say it's slick business. But we know better. When I posed this question to a man once, he laughably said, "It depends on whether I'm buying the field from you or you are buying it from me. As to whether it's dishonest or not, we may joke about the matter, but deep down, we know it would be wrong." Also, a little sober reflection will cause us to realize immediately that this question of ethics is not related to the parable at all. Jesus was telling the parable to illustrate one great truth. Jesus is worth more than anything else or everything else in the world. Amen? Praise be to God. And number two, an accidental discovery. The story Jesus told easily could have happened in his day. Palestine was invaded often, because of its strategic location at the bridge between three continents. When a man accumulated a treasure, he did not know where to hide it because invading armies looted homes indiscriminately and thoroughly. An old tradition said that in the East, because of the frequent revolutions and changes of rulers, many rich men divided their goods into three parts. One third they used in commerce or for their necessary support. And one third they turned into jewels, which if they had to flee quickly, could be easily carried with them. And one third they buried. A hireling could be plowing in another man's field and come across the hidden treasure of a previous owner who had been killed. What would he do is the question. What would he do? Well, he might quickly bury it and seek to raise sufficient cash to buy the man's field. So this parable, in contrast to the one that follows, suggests that some people come upon God's kingdom unexpectedly. Like the Samaritan woman is such an example. She went to the well to draw water, never expecting to find water of life. Some people find Jesus unexpectedly at a worship service. Perhaps the person went for some other reason than to engage in meaningful spiritual activity. But the Holy Spirit operates through the singing and preaching. The individual discovered the hidden treasures of a personal experience with Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, a frivolous young girl, not immoral, but shallow and superficial, went to a church service. Actually, she went to make fun. But as a result of the message and the Holy Spirit's work, she accepted Christ. Someone later wrote of her that she went to scoff but remained to pray. Imagine you go to disrupt a church service and end up staying and listening to the service because why? The Holy Spirit got into you. That girl grew up, matured in the Christian faith, and became an outstanding foreign missionary. And number three, give all you have. Life has loveliness to sell by Sarah Teasdale. It's a beautiful poem. The last stanza begins, sell all you have for loveliness. Buy it and never count the cost. So it is with God's kingdom. Don't miss it because you hold on to something you refuse to give up. Frequently, we are called upon to give up ambitions and lifestyles that are inconsistent with the Christian life. This is a part of the act and process known as repentance. The point of this parable is that if we have to give up everything we have or are to be a Christian, it is worth it. Yes, it is worth it. And before I close, I just want to say this last little thing. So this young ruler showed great earnestness. He asked what he should do now, that he might be happy forever. Most ask for good to be had in this world, any good. Psalms 4 and 6. He asks for good to be done in this world. In order to enjoy the greatest good in the other world, Christ encourages this address by assisting his faith and by directing his practice. But here is a sorrowful parting between Jesus and this young man. He asks Christ what he shall do more than he has done to obtain eternal life. And Christ put it to him, whether he has indeed that firm belief of and that high value for eternal life, which he seems to have, is he willing to bear a present cross in expectation of future crown? The young man was sorry he could not be a follower of Christ upon easier terms, that he could not lay hold on eternal life and keep hold of his worldly possessions too. He went away grieved. Matthew 6:24. He cannot serve God and mammon. Christ took this occasion to speak to his disciples about the difficulty of the salvation of those who have abundance of this world. Those who thus eagerly seek the wealth of the world will never rightly prize Christ and his grace. Also, as to the greatness of the salvation of those who have put little of this world to leave it for Christ, the greatest trial of a good man's consistency is when love to Jesus caused him to give up love to friends and relatives, even when gainers by Christ, let them still expect to suffer for him till they reach heaven. Let us learn contentment in a low state and to watch against the love of riches in a high one. Let us pray to enable to part with all, if required in Christ's service, and to use all we are allowed to keep in his service. Praise be to God. And my conclusion is, notice that the man in the parable seized the crucial moment when it came. He did not linger to debate the matter, but act on the moment. James Russell Lowell said, once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. One of life's greatest danger is that when we are moved by some high impulse, we shall not act at once. When we delay, the impulse often dies. We must seize the great moment of opportunity while they are present. Someone said it well. Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities of our lifetime, doing the lifetime of our opportunities. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is to me. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. So at this time, our very own Barbara A. Moore is going to come with our poetry, and after the poetry, we're going to go into our communion service. Amen? Praise be to God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. As soon as I, come on, mouse, don't start acting up. There we go. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. I will be reading a poem from my book, The Profundity of God, A Spiritual Anthology in Poetry.
Amen.
And this is entitled, Will You Trust Me? If you do not get the things you hoped for, if someone you love or you have a disease there is no cure for, when there is no food, no job, no money for clothes, no friend, when you look around and cannot see the end of this suffering, your heartache, your pain, the abuse, the blood, will you trust me to bring you out of whatever you're going through? Will you still pray to me? Will you love me and seek my face? Will you spread my word still and continue to believe in and live in my grace? If things do not work out, according to your plan. I ask you, my child, my friend, will you trust me? Will you hold my hand when all seems bleak, desperate, black and blue, looking lost and forlorn? Then too, will you trust me or will you trust me not and turn back? Tell the truth now. Go on. You can say the right thing. Just some words in your mouth. You know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But do I still have what really, truly counts? That's your heart. Remember, I am God. I know your story's outcome before it even starts. I wrote the book. Read the last page. I know that in the end, we win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the faith to keep the faith within? Dearest child, only trust and obey. Believe, and you will receive. That's Almighty God's magnificent decree, and it is so. And I have a scripture from Isaiah 57 and verse 13 where it reads, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Excuse me. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Bless the hearers and doers of his most holy and precious word.
Amen. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful.
God,
absolutely beautiful. So now we are going to get ready to go into our communion service. I will play a selection, and after the selection, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to conduct our communion service at this time. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
After the selection, to God be the glory.
Bread of life,
element
sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a
holy
king, a
coming
God. You are the
living
awesome ruler,
Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you. You were born in a money when I can't say nothing else. I like to say, oh, 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 oh. I wonder, can I get this taste all over the world this way? Find yourself saying,
God has been good to us. He has really been good to us. I don't care what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives, God has been good to us.
Yes,
He has been so good. Even in our pain, we can see God's goodness.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that requires a real strong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
While you in pain, to be able to still see God's goodness, because it's still there. And so while we're preparing ourselves to take communion, we're going to tell God, thank you. Thank
Amen.
You. Y'all know how to do communion time. Because if we don't thank him no other time, we're going to thank him when it's time for communion. Thank you,
mm-hmm.
God. Thank you for loving on us the way you have. Thank you, God. Even
thank
when
you.
We don't have the strength to open up our mouths and say thank you, we are so grateful for you listening to our thoughts.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That in our minds, we're saying thank you, God. Even though we feel like we're paralyzed and can't open our mouths, we're still thinking, thank you, God. And I am so grateful for that smile on your face in the spirit realm that says, I hear you, daughter. I hear you, son. I can hear you. Thank you, God. Father, for the private moment, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Would you be ready to get into our communion? Before we do, we're going to have Evangelist Hilda to read the scriptures. And we're going to have Sister Barbara open us up in prayer, if that's okay with you both.
Amen.
Sure.
Go ahead, Sister Barbara. Thank you.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more again, we come to you on this first Saturday of the month of August. We want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to remember you in communion as we just adore doing so, Father God. We thank you for your body, the bread that we're going to drink. We thank you for your blood, for the juice that we're going to drink. No one else could do it, Father God, and we thank you for sending your son Jesus to save a wreck like us. So we thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. Forgive us of our sins, for your mission and commission. And, Lord, thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your compassion, your generosity, your kindness, your favor. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these many blessings you bestowed upon us. All these I ask in the master's name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Hilda, give us the scriptures, please.
You want all four of the scriptures or just two at a time?
Yes, all of them.
All
and
of
then
them.
I'll come
okay.
in and give it to you. Thank
Amen.
You.
Institution of the Lord's Supper. For I receive, First Corinthians 11, 23-26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen.
Amen. You got your sisters. Let's take our bread, break it, and eat. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You got your drink that represents the blood, and everyone drank.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, God. Mm. Hallelujah.
Praise your holy name, Father.
We've got to have a made-up mind that we're going to do exactly what God needs us to do when we're supposed to be doing it. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you. God says, I don't need you to forget about me. I don't care what's going on in the world, what's going on in your life. That's not the time to forgive God. That's the time to celebrate God. Because he's never going to leave us alone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We are not alone in what we're going through. We are not alone with this monkey pox and all this other stuff that they say is going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
All this confusion. Everything that's going on, we are not alone. That's why you got to have a thank you on your lips. confused
and all depressed and stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Truly break heart. But God, we know you can reach out and touch them.
Oh,
yes. Those young people, they don't realize how much of a future they still have with Christ Jesus. They don't realize how much you love them, oh God. But as often as we get a chance to, oh God, we, the ones that have already come through, can look back, reach our hand back, and pull someone else through. Encourage
right.
someone else. Love on someone else. Be kind to someone else. Tell someone else about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me and her and him and her and him. Still doing things for each and every last one of us. He woke us up this morning. Close in our right mind. Yes, thank God. Hallelujah. How can you not praise a God like that? How can you not love on a God like that? Thank you, God. When everyone turns away and turns their back on you, God is still there holding on. My goodness, I tell you, I was sitting here and I had a pity party. And I said, Lord, what is going on? This is too much. And it seemed like it just keeps coming and coming and coming. I said, okie dokie, I need some oxygen. So what did I do? I went and got the oxygen tank, pulled it out, turned it on, and gave myself some oxygen. Oh, y'all wonder, how do I do that? I get God's word, open it up, and when I turn it on and he starts speaking, my goodness, that's my oxygen.
All right.
And I continue to dwell in. He is with us. He said he would never leave us. He's with us even now. He said he's going to comfort us when we need to be comforted. My goodness, Lord God. He says we can only endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the morning can be whatever you decide, it is morning. Thank you, God. I'm looking at the sky right now, and all these clouds in the sky. And I'm saying, you know what? My health, our health, your health, his health, her health, our health comes from the Lord. Every chance that we have to take communion, just so we can say thank you, God, for being our mother, for being our father, for being our sister, for being our brother, for being our children, for being our best friend, for being God all by yourself. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you love us enough to come and wrap your arms around us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. When it gets to be too much, we can feel your arms wrapped around us. Saying, I got you. I got you. When we look down in the sand and we see one set of footprints, we know you are carrying us through this. Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
We cannot walk on our own, but thank you for carrying us. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Father God, we can't do it in our own strength, so thank you for your strength, oh God.
Thank you, God.
Oh God, we love you today. We honor you today. We glorify your holy name. It's about you and only you, oh God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. And today we praise you, oh God.
Yes.
We love you. We honor you. We bless your holy name, Jesus. I tell you, first I'm going to tell you this. We're riding in the car. Thank you, God.
I know.
And we're taking communion. And I know y'all hear all this background noise on the road.
Yeah.
And I apologize. But I apologize. I got a little cup with communion, and I had a cracker. And the Holy Ghost says, you cannot take communion without your husband. And I'm riding in the car, and all this is going on. So I hand him the cup, and I break the cracker, and I put some in his mouth, some in my mouth. I take the cup, I put the cup to his lips, some for him, and some for me. Why? Because
yes.
I'm not going through alone. He's going through too. We're going through together.
Amen.
And guess what?
All of us are going through together. That's right.
And it behooves us, when you're around someone, to get them to come into communion with you.
Uh-huh.
And I know he will used to say, oh, no, they're not worthy to take communion. The devil is a liar. Who says they're not worthy? We don't know. God didn't tell us, oh, seek out the ones that are worthy to take communion. He said, let them decide whether or not they want to take it. And if they decide they want to take it, who are we to say no?
That's right.
We have to offer it to them. They look at them and say, no, they're not worthy to take communion. No, they don't know what it stands for. But guess what? If they take it and they decide, I want to take communion, and they come up to take communion, don't stop them. Because that's the beginning of God saying, I'm trying to get on the inside of them. And I can't get on the inside of them if on the outside y'all keep treating us the way you do. I need to offer love and kindness so I can get on the inside of them. And if it starts with my blood, let it be. Let them be. I see people coming to church and they don't look like they should be taking communion. But I tell you, they walk, they have me somewhat there, and they reach for that cup and reach for that cracker, and they desire to take communion, and all I can do was smile. I said, Lord, you know what you're doing.
I don't make mistakes.
You know what you're doing. And I tell you, everyone coming to church, and they did not look like they should be taking communion. They're allowed to take communion. They always came back. And they continue to come for more and more and more. Because in their mind, they're saying, if you stop me from taking communion, then I'm not coming out to your church. If you don't stop me, I'll be back. And God put it on the hearts of his people, the ones that listen, and they don't stop them, and they keep coming back. God says, how can I get on the inside if you don't let them get on the inside? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, God. Do you love them today? Do you love him? Tell them that you love him. Lord God, we love you today. We love you every day, God. With every chance that you give us to make the platform just about you, oh God, we want to take advantage of the platform that's just for you. We're not asking for anything. We're not seeking your face or anything. We just want to say thank you. We want to love on you. We want to glorify your name. Glorify your holy name. Y'all know that song, glory to your name, oh Lord my God, as I lift up my hands and praise your name, I give you my heart, my mind, my soul. Oh Lord, take control and have your way with me. Oh Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you today, oh God. Glory to your name, oh Lord my God. As I lift up my hands and praise your holy name, I give He moved his hand. He left down his shirt while I was praying. So I'm touching his naked skin where his back is hurting. And I'm praying. And I'm praying. And I hold my hand and I stop it. I look at him. And he looks at me and he goes, "Miss Kathy, don't throw me away. There's still some good in me." And I looked at him, I said, "Why do you think I've thrown you away?" He said, "I know you be looking at my eyes. Every time I look at you, you're looking dead in my eyes." I said, "Yeah, I'm looking at your eyes, but God is looking at your heart."
Yes.
And so whatever God has seen, he has told me to be good to you for whatever he's seen in your heart. So I'm crying. He said, "Miss Kathy, I gotta go. I said, "Okay," and he runs out, and I'm going, "Okay." And then he comes back another day, and he says, "Miss Kathy, doing something to me, I know you. I never let anybody touch me, and I sure don't let church people touch me." And I looked at him, I said, "Excuse you?" Because sometimes people be praying stuff they ain't got no witness praying.
Oh, boy.
I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Miss Kathy, my back was killing me, and I wanted you to pray for my back. And I wanted it so bad that I had to say, okay, I don't want her praying, Lord, he's a sinner, forgive him, clean her. I just want her to pray." He said, "When you started praying, and the fact that you only prayed for my back." He said, "I know you the real ordeal. I know you the real." I said, "Oh, there y'all go with the real ordeal. Get out of here." He said, "This is Kathy. You the real." I said, okay. He said, "I'm going to get on that Block Talk Radio one." I said, "Okay." And he left. And I'm telling you, sometimes we look at the ones that we think are not worthy, and you want to not spend your time with them. Those are the ones you got to see.
Yeah.
The ones that look like they got it all together, come on now. God's still working on them.
Yes, he is.
He's still working on them. But he's looking at us and he says, the ones that the world the way, Kathy, go get them. Go lay hands. Go tell them that you love them. And I do everything God tells me. And now, you know, I got the reputation around the job. They say, "You know, Miss Kathy, she that woman trying to get everybody into the church." And so one of the guys told her, I said, "I am not." He said, "Yes, you are." I said, "No, I'm not." And then before he left, I said something to him. "Go, trying to get me into church." I said, "Oh, Lord." But I said, that's how they think of
it.
I thank God. They could say, "There she goes, the one that's always trying to get for somebody, get for that dude or that dude." Or there she goes, "You know, Miss Kathy, she likes to lie." Or there she goes, "She likes to steal." I'm so glad they see me as a woman trying to get someone to fight. Thank God, and I see that because every time you open your mouth, Barbara, every time you open your mouth, Hilda, and you tell somebody about Christ, they are telling someone else. You know she always want to talk about Jesus, and Jesus is giving you another nugget in your crown.
All right.
Every time we represent him down here on earth, whether they receive it or not, God sees we're making an effort to bring somebody into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
And when you think they're not listening, one day they're going to turn around and they're going to repeat everything you said to them. They're going to say, "I remember when you told me that God was going to," and I remember, and you're looking at them going, "Oh, they were listening?" You're listening. They hear you.
Yeah.
They hear everything you're saying. And I am so grateful that today what they hear us talking about is the goodness of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Sister Barbara, can you please pray us out today? Thank you, guys. I love you with all my heart. Sister Barbara, pray us out.
Thank
Is she still there, Evangelist Hilda?
Sister Barbara, are you still there?
She probably stepped up.
Oh, once more and again, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for
Thank you, God.
Thank you for Pastor Kathy being able to join us this morning.
Yes,
pray to encourage her and teach her strength and comfort her and just continue to love on her.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Just bless them, Father God, and they will be blessed. Keep them, and they will be kept. Bless Evangelist her household. Bless me and my household. Bless the world, Father God.
Yes, God. Thank you for looking out for all of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But for that, we are forever grateful.
We're forever thankful. As we know that nobody does us like you do us, Father God. For the good, the bad, the not so good. We thank you for everything because you are just an almighty God. And we love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you.
Yes,
if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Traveling grace for those that are traveling right now, God, to and fro.
Yes.
We love you again, God. And thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. I had to put it on mute. Thank you, guys. I love you. I got to sign out now. See you next week, Lord willing. God bless
God
you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, safe day. Love you, guys.
You too.
Enjoy
your weekend. Love
Bye,
you,
Pastor
too.
Steven. Hello. They're gone. Yeah, that was a big surprise. She usually, if she doesn't come, you know, any other time on a Saturday, she will show up for communion.
Exactly. Well, after all of that,
first time in a while. Yes. And it's, so she's
it's
getting back there slowly but surely, but, you know.
Exactly.
It just takes time, so we just have
God
to.
God is able.
Yes, he is.
God is able.
So, just have patience, and she'll be back there as soon as God give her the strength to. So for the next 19 minutes, I'm just going to read a devotional, and then the rest I will play music and read another devotional, because this book of devotionals is very, very interesting. So this title
I said the block party was last week. It's this week. So I'm going to try to stay with you until the close. The devotionals are very encouraging. Amen.
Yes, they
so,
are.
Again, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. God bless you to our listener. How are you this morning? Can't hear you. Amen. So I'm going to read this devotional. Wisdom Delight. The wisdom of sacrifice. In 1 Samuel 1 and 22 in the NASB Bible says, "But Hannah said to her husband, 'I will not go until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him so that he may appear before the Lord and stay there for life.'" Amen. The writer says, Hannah, wife of Elkanah, has no children in a culture where bearing children is expected. On their annual temple visit, she prays to the Lord in great distress, weeping bitterly. 1 Samuel 1:10, NASB. She asks for a son, vowing to give him to the Lord. In 1 Samuel, NASB 1:11, all the days of his life. The Lord answered Hannah's prayer, and the following year she gave birth to Samuel, meaning God has heard. She skips her temple visit the next few years until Samuel is weaned. Then she does as she promised and delivers him to the temple to live with Eli, the priest, who will train him in the priesthood. Instead of returning home brokenhearted, she sings a song of thanksgiving for the greatness of God. 1 Samuel 2:1-10 in the NASB. Every year, she brings her boy a little robe she has made. 1 Samuel 2:19, NASB. In time, Samuel becomes a mighty prophet and leader in Israel. Eli prays for more children for Hannah, and she has 3 more sons and 2 daughters. But she did not know those children would be in her future. When she boldly released her then only child for God's larger purpose, Hannah's story calls me to more. To God the Father, sending his only son, Jesus, away to live in the world, to open a path I can take through faith in him, to knowing God now and forever. The Bible says, in John 1:12 in the NASB, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When I think of the momentum sacrifice father and son made so I can be one more child in the family, I want to do as Hannah and Samuel did, serve God willingly from a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, for your overwhelming gift, Carol Knapp. And if you want to read deeper, you can read 1 Samuel 1, 1 Samuel chapter 2:1-11, and verses 18-21, John 3:16, Philippians 2:5-11, and 1 John 3:1. Amen. So at this time, I will play a selection.
All the praise belongs.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. In Proverbs 17:17 in the NIV, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. I know a woman who, to my knowledge, has never said an unkind word about anyone in her life. I have wondered, how on earth does she do it? I, on the other hand, am guilty of not giving a few people I have met over the years even half a chance to grow a decent friendship with me. I simply decided early on that I would be cordial with these people, but did not want to form real relationships with them because they were too different from me or were irritating in some way. Besides, I read and heard that it's best to surround yourself with happy, positive people. Don't let the negative ones drag you down. The world says, then one Sunday, my pastor talked about the importance of looking for the good in every person we meet. Even the most negative people have some good qualities, he said. Give them a chance. Ouch. The next week, a woman I've been avoiding for years showed up at the pool. Remembering what my pastor had said, I smiled and said, good morning. A short conversation took place, and gradually, over the next couple of months, I started to see her in a whole new light. There were reasons she was cranky. Her parents were both ill. Her husband refused to help her with basic household tasks. And her best girlfriend had gradually dissolved their friendship. That woman and I may never become close friends, but as we have gotten to know each other, the weight around my shoulders caused by my trying to avoid her has disappeared. I learned that it's not so hard to extend God's love and give everyone a chance. Amen? Lord,
amen.
Sometimes I need a kick in the pants to reach out to a difficult person. Let me have it. Patricia Lorraine. Yeah, that's a good prayer. You know, even like you got family members that is so stubborn and sometimes you want to, and then you just, you got to pray on things. You know, there's good in everybody, no matter how bad they may look on the outside. You don't know what's in their hearts or what they're going through. So, you know, try to have a little patience and compassion with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Okay, so we got 2 minutes and 50 seconds, and I'm going to play out the closing of this program with Awesome by Charles Jenkins. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And if you have to go out, stay safe, wear your mask, and stay your distance. We love you. God loves you. And shalom.
Have a blessed one. I love you. Shalom.
You too. Love you too. Praise God.
Bye. Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, if you know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
Awesome.
celebrate the awesome God.